Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Merry Christmas. Welcome into the pre-holiday edition of Senior Moments. Did you like Christmas?
Do it? Oh, I love Grandma.
Yeah?
It's awesome.
Grandma.
Grandma.
I don't know that.
Grandma. That's what it is. Christmas.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Long-standing ozone tradition.
Really?
Yeah.
How have I missed it all these years?
I don't know. Well, you miss a lot.
Yeah, I probably do. Is there anything about Grandma I need to know?
Just that it's merry.
Okay.
Jolly.
Really?
The whole thing.
Are there cookies involved?
Oh, there's cookies. It's snake. Yeah.
But no fruit.
It's a whole thing. A lot of green and red.
Okay. So, yeah. I'm going to do
a lot of football this year.
Do you think I could find something on the internet, something on Wikipedia about Crema?
Crema? No, but it's in the ozone.
Okay. Well, that's where I'll go then. I'll
just give it a read. Free website.
There is a little bit of football this year. You know, it's funny since you say that. I'm enjoying the here and the now, and I understand the 24-hour news cycle and sports talk radio and social media and all of that stuff. It seems that people are getting ahead of themselves. And I'm not talking about the Super Bowl conversation. That's part of the now. What I'm getting at is the Blake Bortles contract situation. Which receivers are you keeping? What are you going to do about offensive line? Whoa, hold on. Right? It's as if people have decided, okay, the Jaguars are here, baby. Now, how are we going to stay right here? Well, you don't year to year. You
right.
don't. You're not guaranteed to be this good on defense or this healthy, which is the remarkable part about this team all year long. Slow down, folks. Pump the brakes a little bit. Enjoy Crema and football, Jaguar style, for the next couple of weeks.
Well, and there's a couple of things at play. First of all, absolutely enjoy it because you don't get seasons where you're this healthy on defense the entire year. You also, what you're seeing this year is why the questions about the future and what you're going to do in the offseason maybe don't mean as much as they usually do, meaning you're worried about a group of receivers that you didn't know how to spell their names a month ago.
Right.
Which speaks to, A, you never know in this league, and B, in order to have seasons like this, you must have guys develop like this. You must have players improve like this. The improvement of the receivers is remarkable. You've got to have guys like Patrick Amame and A.J. Cann, who's improved. You've got to have guys improve within the context. You have to have Blake Bortles improve. Teams like the Patriots and Steelers get those performances every year. It's why they're always there. Jaguars are getting it now. Don't worry. I think that's the biggest thing. Don't worry so much about the future.
Right. They've got guys to do that.
It's now.
Dave Caldwell and John Idzik. I mean, they're all spending time thinking about how to structure the roster into the future. But
well, here's the thing.
Moment.
They're good decisions to have. I mean,
absolutely, this has not been the case.
You've now got Robinson, Lee, Hearns, Mickens, Cole.
Westbrook.
And Westbrook. It stands to reason not all those guys are going to be back next year.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, let... Especially on that front, let the next 2, 3, 4 games play out, A, before you decide how great this trio of rookies is, because it's a 3-game sample. My sense is a couple of them will prove, whoa, we can look at these veterans and not necessarily bring one back. And a couple of them might be like, let's hold the phone a little bit and see how it plays out.
Now, so, I do have to ask you. We're hearing all about Jimmy Garoppolo based on a 3-game sample.
Very similar.
Yeah. I get he did some things with the Patriots and Bill Belichick, you know, in relief of Tom Brady last year. But 3 games now, and already they're talking out there. Hey, similar story. They're talking out there. Do you franchise the guy? Do you get a long-term deal done
with
him?
Quarterback, because of where it's Garoppolo different. Came from, because I think it's safe to assume that Garoppolo is going to be part of the 49ers core dynamic for a long time. Within the short term for the Jaguars, however, there is an element of now you've got 3 games of film on this guy. Much like I think it's going to be curious to see how teams start playing these wide receivers for the Jaguars. Once they have tape, once you're now trying to figure out how to take some of their strengths away, they will have to adapt to that. I think Garoppolo will probably go through the same thing this weekend. I can't imagine that Todd Walsh is not looking at this and saying, okay, here's what he does. Here's what we have to take away. It's the old adage, the second time through the league in baseball. Garoppolo, I'm sure, will have to adjust to something he hasn't seen this weekend against a very fast defense. I think this is probably the week that he gets fooled a couple of times because of that. Doesn't mean he can't win the game, but I think it will be tougher than the last couple of weeks for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, and he's beaten the Bears, the Texans, and the Titans. You know, not great defenses all of a sudden. Now he gets a defense that is game planning for him,
right,
and a defense that is at the height of its game. So I'm anxious to see that.
Well, it really rushes the passer and really runs fast behind that. Garoppolo gets the ball out quick. So
really quick.
You would think the Jaguars try to play defense very fast, very aggressively in a 10-yard space.
We talked a little bit here on Senior Moments about conventional wisdom and Jalen Ramsey's admonishment of us a few weeks ago when we were asking. Conventional wisdom said, here come the Seahawks, here comes Russell Wilson. So conventional wisdom, as applied to this team, would say, well, you know, this is a game the Jaguars lose. They haven't won on the West Coast since 2005. You know, could be a letdown game before you have to go play in Nashville for the division title. I just don't see conventional wisdom as it works with this team in any way, shape, or form. Talking to the guys as they were in and out of here the last 2 days, they seem like they get it. It seems like this is a remarkably... what's the right word? Not clairvoyant, prescient. They see it. They can see what's coming, and they have the ability to deal with it.
I think a lot of it, too, is I think, you know, the mindset of this team, obviously they want to win the division. Obviously they want to go win the Super Bowl. Obviously they wanted to make the playoffs. But it does strike you in talking to these guys and in watching them play. And I said this earlier this week to somebody. Against the Texans, I never got a feeling when it was 45-7 that the defense had any sort of awareness of what the score was, that they were playing like it was 7-0 and they were trying to get a shutout. I haven't felt anything from the defense at all this year like they're particularly worried about what the record of the team is. I'm not saying they're selfish as a defense, but their goal seems to be to dominate, to, you know, put the foot on the throat of other teams and be acknowledged as not only the best defense now, the best defense ever to play, you know, and they're not that. But my point is, this is what this team talks about and thinks about. Jalen Ramsey, incredibly upset for giving up one touchdown the other day, 45-7, great game. He was more concerned about the touchdown he gave up. That's been the case a lot.
When they were up 31-0, by the way.
Yeah, so point being, I don't think this, you know, if there was any thought of a letdown for clinching the playoffs, if there was any thought of a letdown, anything, I think this defense is very motivated to keep sort of putting in people's faces of how good they are.
So people have asked me in recent weeks why Blake Bortles has come on with, you know, three incredible performances in a row. And I think they're expecting me to say, well, you know, Nate Hackett has tailored the offense and the offensive line has played well and the emergence of Leonard Fournette and the young receivers that you just mentioned. And, I mean, all of those play a factor in it. But I'm going to tell you, as we were walking off the field after the loss in Arizona, the last time this team lost, about a month ago by the time they play again, it was Jalen Ramsey and Calais Campbell, I think, that made the biggest difference, because they both went over and said, don't let this one get to you. We have your back, right? In not so many words, and in some cases more than that. But they were letting him know, we believe in you, we've got you. They saw the way he played running the football that day. They recognized the way that he was fighting to bring the team back. And the interception didn't bother them. Their mindset is, we'll get it back. You go be you. You go play. And I'm paraphrasing here. We'll get the ball back for you. We have your back. And I don't think you can underestimate what that means to him in a league, in a market where people have not had confidence in Blake Bortles. Boy, his teammates have. And they have shown it in the last month.
Yeah, and I think they also saw and believed something well before Arizona that no fans can see, even media can't see it. That's how well Blake was performing in practice. I think the players on offense know the level of importance that Blake's knowledge of the offense has been all year. I think they know what he's had to overcome a lot of the year. It's very vogue to say this is a great offensive line. It hasn't been a great offensive line all year.
No.
It has played very well in spots. It's run blocked well at times. There were a lot of times during the year that it didn't protect great, that he was avoiding a lot of sacks and making them look good. The running game, Blake's ability to help Leonard Fournette on the field of, hey, go here on this play. That's still going on because Leonard's still a young player. Leonard respects Blake for that. The offense, the receivers know how much he's getting them in and out of good positions. They also know how many passes have been dropped for him. The players on this team are well aware that Blake's the MVP of this offense, mentally, physically, in what he's done on the field. They knew it, felt it, acted like it long before the stats on the field caught up and long before we all started gushing about it.
When you look at the offensive line, somebody said this to me yesterday, no offensive lineman to the Pro Bowl in a year in which you lead the NFL in rushing and you've got a franchise fewest, what has he been sacked to 21 mm-hmm. times, and the 21st on Sunday was him running out of bounds. You know, so really been sacked 20 times on the year. How do you not have a Pro Bowler? Well, you have a rookie tackle who has been up and down.
Up and down.
Your right tackle's been in and out of the lineup. So is your left guard. Your right guard has improved, certainly not at a Pro Bowl level. And your highest paid offensive lineman, your center, has been okay this year. He mm-hmm. has not been the dominant player that at times
he also missed a few games.
Yeah. Which he's not been healthy.
It also takes time for a lineman.
Right.
It is the most reputation-oriented position in Pro Bowl voting, because it's the one place where you can't get stats.
Yeah.
So often, you know, I use this analogy all the time. I covered Jeff Saturday for 10 years. Jeff Saturday will get conversation for the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he'll make it, but he'll be in the conversation at some point. Made, I think, 5 Pro Bowls. Made a couple at the end of his career that he was just okay. For 3 years, it was a huge topic in Indy every December. How is Jeff Saturday not in the Pro Bowl? It takes time for the reputation to catch up,
right.
And then you get it sometimes at the end. Offensive line is an absolute reputation position in the Pro Bowl. Sometimes with a guy like Pacelli, you make it, and all of a sudden you're in and you keep going. But he was top 2 pick coming out, had the Bruce Smith game. You know, there were a lot of things that propelled him quickly. Most of the time, it lags behind. But this year, I don't know that individually I would look at any of the Jaguars offensive linemen and beat the table that, oh, my goodness, that is a robbery that they're not in. But I think there are a couple of guys who have a chance to be multi-Pro Bowlers in the future in Linder and Robinson. A
couple more thoughts. First of all, let's educate people. Pro Bowl is voted by players, fans, mm-hmm. coaches. The All-Pro team is – I don't know if the average fan delineates the difference between Pro Bowl and All-Pro. The Pro Bowl team is, again, voted for by a mass group of people. That's not the case with All-Pro.
All-Pro is AP media voters,
right?
Many of whom have been doing it for a long time. It's more similar to the Hall of Fame than the Pro Bowl voting. It's not the same as the Hall of Fame.
And it's one guy at each position.
It's right. Right. Generally speaking, it's 23 or 24 guys. There's returners. There's a couple of
right.
specialists. But it's an elite team that if you look at – there's a lot of guys who make 11, 12 Pro Bowl in it. Not a lot. There's guys who make 8, 9, 10,
and
10 so, Pro Bowls.
And now with the game played the week before the Super Bowl, there's
right.
if you have the Steelers go to the Super Bowl this year, there's 8 spots open
right.
for guys to just slide into.
All pro you'll look at, and there'll be great, great players who make it 3 times in their career.
So the question I have for you, media member, you know, done this a long time, are there any All-Pro players on this roster?
Personally, I think Telvin Smith should have been a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro outside 4-3 linebacker,
right.
but the position gets overlooked.
And I'm not asking you to predict, but I'm asking you, who belongs in the conversation for
Boye
All-Pro?
Ramsey, okay. Absolutely. Calais, I would say.
He's right there with Chandler Jones. He's a half a sack behind
him.
Yeah, I'd
say
he's
right there. And
but you've got Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram that could make
right.
the same case.
There's a little bit more of a, boy, there's a lot of pass rushers. And Calais is in the conversation. Boye and Ramsey to me, if there are two corners, either of them playing better, I don't – it's hard to believe. Now, Patrick Peterson, there are reputation guys who I'm sure have had great years. It's never a surprise when you don't make all pro because there's always a couple of guys, always two or three up there who are realistically there's always more than two good players. You know, so there's always conversations. But Boye and Ramsey, and if you get two all-pro corners, two all-pros at the same position, I haven't looked it up. It doesn't happen often.
Tommy Bohannon? I mean, everyone just disappointed he didn't make the Pro Bowl, but all-pro?
All-pro?
Yeah, think so?
You know.
You missed the sarcasm.
Yeah.
I think that's one time I pulled it over on you.
Yeah.
You missed it.
Yeah. I would say no.
Yeah, I would say no, too. I would say who cares, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
but he had two touchdowns last week.
I'm a huge Tommy Bohannon guy.
I figured I'd have to throw
Believe
him in
me,
there.
I'm
well, who isn't? I mean, let's be honest.
I'm hawking the Bohannon
who
horn,
isn't?
But right.
Who isn't?
But he's made a difference on this team, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
So
there's no doubt. I got the Tommy Bohannon Pro Bowl questions, and I figured I'd turn it on you.
Oh, is there a movement? Is that
really.
A thing?
Okay. Just somebody said, hey, I thought he was leading in the voting, and then I had to remind people.
Tommy's.
The fans aren't the only people
Tommy's
voting.
Tommy's family's upset about that?
Yeah, probably. Final thought. And I'm accused all the time of going back to that 96 team. And why not? I mean, it was the 99 team, for as good as it was, the 96 team was a much better story.
Mm-hmm.
That team was special. That team had that whole end of the season that things fell into place. The stories were great. It was a special season. Starting with Keenan McCardell standing in the locker room, and I know you were there that day,
sure.
Where he said, why not us? So I grabbed him in the hallway on Sunday night after the win. I said, what do you think? He turned to me. He goes, you know. And I said, why not us? He goes, why not us?
Right.
And I thought, and I have been since Sunday, this is a special season. Not just because they broke through, got out of the abyss, because they're in the playoffs again. This is special because of the stories that we're telling right now about two corners who should be all pro. Talking about Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue and what Jadon Mickens. I mean, for goodness sakes, if Jadon Mickens, if his story doesn't make this a special season, I don't know what does.
Right.
And Keelan Cole from Kentucky Wesleyan, I get it. Three games, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the last three games,
Amen.
He has 34 catches for 334 yards and three touchdowns, right? You're getting this convergence
yep.
of great stories, and I don't want people to miss it. This is truly one of those 96 special kind of seasons, even if the record wasn't 4-7 when they started winning.
Well, I think that's what's significant, too. There was a tinge of the 4-7 season or the 9-7 season in the AFC Championship game where you thought, how did they do it?
Yeah.
And it came out of nowhere, and it was eventually proven over the course of the next 3 years, well, they did it because they were really good.
Right.
And they were young guys who were starting to flex their muscles. Well, this team's already good. This team, it has sort of a rare chance to sneak up on people when it shouldn't be sneaking up on people. The story I'm writing for tomorrow is, look, it's time to just acknowledge that they're good. And it's kind of ridiculous that people are just talking about the Patriots and the Steelers right now. Because this is a 10-4 team that's one drop pass away from being the top seed.
True.
They're good, and I don't see why they can't go win games anyway.
Great. And with that, I say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And that'll do it for Senior Moments this week. Thanks to J.P. Shadrick for filling in for Joe Fortunato. Have a great weekend, and Christmas, Merry Christmas, all that stuff, and we will talk to you next week here on Senior Moments.